What a joke. The Trump campaign announced the LGBTQ plus coalition that had been expected to launch in June, and they're blaming coronavirus.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, while I was voguing there and doing my thing, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting Digital Stream Radio. DigitalStreamRadio.com. This is going to be a very fun episode. Well, we all know the story behind Free Mom Hugs and its founder, Sarah Cunningham, and her amazing mission to support millions of LGBTQ people all over the U.S., and now you'll get to hear from the person who inspired this formidable woman's transformation and her journey. Her son, Parker Cunningham, he's our guest tonight. He's going to join us on the second half of the show, and we're super excited to have him. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and as always, I'm here in the studio, not by myself, but with other people and other hosts, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And, of course, our returning guest host.
Hey, Jay.
Hi, Jay, and welcome you all to The Dish. We're going to need to work on that. It's always weird, right? Because for years, it's always been Tom, Nick, Chris, and then The Dish. And then having Elsie come into the fold.
So maybe I should go last now.
Yeah, well, Nick, Dish.
Nick or Trish.
Trish, Dish, yes. So whenever we don't have... Whenever we don't have Chris in the studio, we'll make you go last.
Oh, this is going to get complicated.
Yeah, I know, right? So after 5 years, we can't figure it out. But either way, we always have fun when we're here. We're amongst friends. We're talking about things that are impacting our community every week. And there are subjects and things that we need to talk about so that people are aware that they're happening all over the U.S. and even all over the globe. And so that's why we do what we do every week. Anyway, I'd like to kick off the show, of course, as we always do with our weeks, what we've been doing for the past week.
Bless you.
Girl.
I just had some plantain chips. These things are amazing. And so they were like sort of kind of tickling my throat. And that's what happened there.
So
like a lot of things.
I was saying earlier, you know, when somebody sneezes or coughs now, usually it's like, God bless you, or are you okay? But now it's like, you just get a look. It's like.
Like yeah. Corona. Like seriously. Girl, you're right though.
Sick? Girl, you know you're bad.
You sick?
Watch out. Some guys are gonna give you Corona. That thing. God, I love Lauryn Hill. I miss her.
Wear a mask and fuck them from the back. Anyway.
Or have them pop their ass out a window and then you'll be fine.
Oh, forgot about that.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. That was my suggestion. Mm-hmm. That's how I solved my problem.
Yeah, but you did the front window. You should have done the back window because... All your neighbors got a show. Anyway,
so I'm going to toss it over, of course, to our friend Trish over here that's sitting on this side.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us how your week has been? What have you been doing? Obviously, we announced some exciting news for you last week.
Uh-huh.
And you've been doing a lot of amazing things this week. Well, I mean, yeah, you have. Tell us, how has your week been?
It's been good. I mean, we talked about last week. I am now officially a board member of the New Haven Pride Center, which is so exciting. And I'm super excited about everything that they're doing and the future of it. We've been continually getting great news. But this weekend, I volunteered my time, which is weird for me because normally I have no time. But now that I'm unemployed, I have time. So I volunteered my time and I helped deliver... basically groceries to families in need in the LGBTQ plus community. And I believe they spent, you know, almost...
I think it was close to like 50... Over $5,000 worth of...
Yeah, the amount of people that... I only delivered to six families, and that took me about 2 hours. But like, the amount of people in cars that were there taking this... And it was like fresh produce. It wasn't just like, you know... canned goods, and it was everything that they needed, probably for a couple of days, hopefully a week. But it just felt really good to, like, help out people and, I don't know, deliver food to people in need. And I got a few phone calls because, like, we, you know, you leave them at the front door, and a couple of people called me just to thank me. And it just felt good to not only support the New Haven Pride Center, but support people that are in need right now.
And that's amazing. And, you know, when you think about a lot of cities all over the U.S. have local Pride Centers, and when you can find support from your local Pride Centers, it is important to realize what impact they have in mm-hmm. our communities. And that's why, you know, when Patrick Dunn became the executive director of the Pride Center 3 years ago.
After I slammed it.
Yeah, pretty much, right? 3 or 4 years ago when we started the show, I had never been a member, an official member of any Pride organization. Shame on me. But, you know, immediately, because I knew Patrick was going to do an amazing job, I became an official member. Mm-hmm. And so I pay my dues every year like a lot of the members do. And that goes a long way in really securing and making sure that they have the basics of what they need to operate. And then, of course, there's also fundraising and things that go on to ensure that they can provide the programs that they need.
I mean, just thinking about like the fact that I did a fundraiser and it raised just over 700, I believe, for my birthday for
right.
the New Haven Pride Center. They spent what did you say? Just over $5,000 on food for hundreds of families in the greater New Haven area. That $700 is a huge portion of that.
Right.
So like when you can, if you can give $5, if you can give $25, if you can become a member at 25, 50, 100, those dollars make a huge difference.
Of course.
They're feeding families right now.
That's right. And amidst Corona. So they had to shift, right? Because before they used to have programs that were directly integrated into the communities and where people were at. And so members would come in, people would come into the Pride Center, parents, you know, they would have trans programs. Mm-hmm. They would talk about, you know, the different things that were affecting the community and how we can overcome those. Yeah. I mean, they did so much. And all of that was because we were able to continue to support our local Pride Center. So what I ask of you as a listener, if you're a member of the LGBT community, please, I implore you, find your local LGBTQ center and support them, because they do great work mm-hmm. for the community. And it is important to, even if you can, like Nick said, it could be $5, it could be $10 a month, it could be $100 if you could every month. Do it. Because I tell you the impact that that has on members of our community when they need it most, it is incredible.
Yeah, no, they had different packages. So there was family and regular. So like I'm assuming like maybe, you know, two people or one person was a regular package and then you had a family package. But one of my favorite moments was I dropped off a package at this one house and I knocked on the door because there was no number to call.
Mm-hmm.
And no one came to the door. So I left it, got into my car, put in the next address. And the next thing I see is a little boy. And I'm saying like this kid must have been like 4, maybe 5, opens the door and just smiles because like there's like a, you know, a box full of food on his front step. And then what I assume is his mother comes and waves and, you know, thank you, whatever. But then I started thinking about the fact that, like, a lot of kids can't go back to school right now. And
right.
a lot of families relied on school lunches for their kids.
That's right.
And those lunches, in a lot of circumstances, especially in the greater New Haven area, are subsidized by the state and or city.
Right.
So a lot of these kids haven't been getting the amount of food that they're used to.
In some districts, I will tell you, the city of New Haven, I believe Bridgeport did the same thing. They kept the schools open specifically for that. Obviously, social distancing and all of that. You could go on specific days and get enough breakfast or I believe, they were doing breakfast.
They would hand out the breakfast, what would be the equivalent of a breakfast or sometimes the breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
For like 2 or 3 days, and then they would open the school 2 or 3 days out of the week for people to come in and pick those breakfasts up. So there were certain school districts that were able to do that, but that's not the case for everyone. So mm-hmm. as you were saying.
Yeah, I know. I just thought it was really powerful to see the smile on the kid's face.
Right.
No, and like the fact that like, it wasn't like processed food or, you know, the crap that a lot of people buy and serve their kids. You had fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, canned goods. Like, it was appropriate food for a family. And it made me happy to see that little boy smile when he opened the door and saw a box full of veggies and fruit. And it was a powerful moment. I mean, like, and it makes me feel even better about joining the Pride Center, because I know that the work they're doing is so far surpassing where it was three and a half, four years ago.
Right.
When I was like kind of having a little bit of an issue with the Pride Center not being as visible and being out there. Patrick took over, and the reins that he took, I mean, he's taking it to new heights. I mean, he has plans for the future. It's going to be amazing. And what he's doing it's really powerful. And I'm just really proud to be a part of it and proud to work with him in general, because he's brilliant.
So let me ask you a question. You find yourself impacted by coronavirus. You're unemployed currently. You're collecting unemployment. Obviously, it's not the full salary that, you know, typically when you collect unemployment, you don't get that full salary that people expect that you do get. So everything is always cut. And so to see yourself impacted as a result of coronavirus and helping families that are also impacted because of COVID, does that change your perspective on how people are managing through this pandemic? Does it give you a little bit more understanding or more? Can you be a bit more empathetic of their situation, given that you yourself also are impacted monetarily by COVID?
Yes and no. I'm very empathetic to anybody that has been impacted by COVID-19. Lost their job, and is struggling and is living on unemployment, especially now that the stimulus money is no longer there. That being said, I think that there are situations where people, and I know this because I have a lot of business owner friends, abused the fact that they were receiving that additional money when they were originally laid off, and when they then were offered a job, declined it. Whether, you know, and honestly, if you feel uncomfortable working, I get it 100%, but like declined it because they were making more money and
on unemployment that they were with their own employment.
And that being said, I've never been on unemployment, but I've been paying into it for 20 something years.
Right.
So they're in a weird way, I personally don't feel bad trying to take my time and figure it out. But I think that that certain individuals have the ability to abuse the system. That being said, the people that I was barely interacting with, I don't feel as though that if you're reaching out to a Pride Center for food, I don't feel as though you're abusing the system. And it felt good to me to help them. If that makes sense. And I hope that doesn't make our listeners upset me saying.
No, it does. So I guess what I was trying to get at is, being that you yourself are unemployed at the moment, does it make you relate more with the project that the Pride Center launched in assisting people and making sure that they had food? Does it resonate with you more as opposed to you having employment? And not really, okay, this is just something that the Pride Center and I are going to do, and we're just going to go out and deliver.
I mean, yeah, for sure. Because, like, for example, I applied for food stamps because I have no income besides unemployment, which is just under $500 a week, which was a lot less than I was making. And I was denied food stamps because of that, which means that out of my unemployment, not only do I have to pay all my bills, but I also have to pay for food and everything else, right? And utilities and all that stuff. So yes, 100%. Like, I get it and I understand it more. But at the same time, it's difficult. It's hard. I don't know. I align with it far more, and I can like sympathize far more now. But I'm also way more privileged than a lot of people in ways. Like, if I were in a tight spot, I personally don't think I would have to worry, whereas a lot of families do.
Right.
So it helps me sympathize, but from kind of like a shaded lens almost, right? Okay. Because, I mean, I'm not going to say white privilege, but yeah, that's my white privilege, my privilege in general. I come from a family that's comfortable. Like, if something were to happen, not that I'm asking for money now, but if something were to happen, I know that I would be okay.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? But a lot of these families don't have that support.
Right.
Don't have that, mm-hmm. That, you know, net to fall back on. So yeah, I guess at the end of the day, the point that you're trying to make is, yes, I sympathize with them more, and it felt really good to do that, and I look forward to doing more things like that as well.
I think it's an amazing thing what they did. So my friend Jay Bear over here joining us, of course, once more. How are you, my dear, and how was your week?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Fantastic. A lot of food, a lot of stuff.
As always, yes. Had a good time. As you know, my in-laws came up.
Right.
To visit for a couple of days.
Gladys.
Yes. It was his mother-in-law's birthday.
On Friday.
And so that's awesome. So. Yeah.
And you know, it was that Friday night was the highlight of her birthday. We
bingo night.
Bingo.
So I'll tell you a little bit of what I've been doing. So my mother is a bingo fanatic, right? She's always going to like bingos every Tuesday, Thursday or something like that. And amidst COVID, no one has been able to go into any type of church establishment, which is typically where they hold bingo. They do it usually in the hall of the church down in the basement somewhere. And so it's been closed. And she's been really like wanting to play bingo. So for fun, I ordered all of these like cards on Amazon. The little paper ones that you use at these actual bingos. And so we got a whole group of us together and played bingo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my mother-in-law, same thing. She's already accustomed to playing every week at the community center in Brooklyn. And by the way, she was, you know, she is from Brooklyn, New York. So yeah. Decided to come visit, and they happened to mention it. And of course, me being at Tom's the prior weekend playing bingo, I figured, let me give him a call. And
it's a Friday night thing.
It's a Friday night thing. Let me just confirm everything's okay and everybody's okay with it. So we came up, had a blast. I won $70.
Yeah.
All I have to say is I showed up, and in true Tom fashion, it wasn't just bingo. It was like electronic bingo.
Yes,
he had a TV. He had an iPad set up. There was a speaker. And every single time somebody won, this bitch is like, oh, you got to put a dollar in the house pot. And so I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh. Like the last round, somebody can win the house pot. And then Tom's like, no, that's mine.
That's mine.
And I was like, this bitch is taking our money.
No. It's not that I'm taking your money. I have to buy these cards. So, you know, you have to order those.
I know. But you know, it was just funny because I was like, oh my God, that's going to be a lot of money. It's going to be great. And it's not that much.
No.
It's like maybe $30.
Yeah, it wasn't that much. But, you know, it's a fun time, and it's a way for them to sort of kind of, you know, forget a little bit, right? Get away from the fact that we're still. And we did, you know, the appropriate thing. So because
there
Jay came up.
All over.
Yes, yeah. Because Jay came up with his family. So him and his family have that's the nucleus. And so they sat at a table on the other side of the patio. My mother and I and people in my side of the family sat at another table. And so we sort of kind of kept people away from each other. To try to social distance as best as we can while we're enjoying ourselves. And we did hors d'oeuvres and things like that, and it was fun.
Yeah, we had a blast. We had a blast, and I did a fish boil for her on Saturday as well.
So you posted something on Facebook about that. You had a lot of things. Talk about that a little bit.
A whole lot. So, I mean, it's kind of, for one thing, I love cooking. Love cooking. Worked in the kitchen many years ago. I've worn a lot of hats, you could say, in my timeline.
He still wears a lot of hats.
Still wear a lot of hats.
And now a headset. And,
yes. And now I'm transitioning into something new. But yeah, I love to cook for the family. Actually, my wife rarely cooks, maybe once a year.
Because he does it so well.
So, yeah.
Like, literally, this man can throw that in the kitchen. Like, you've got pots, things happening, like... When this man cooks, he uses the entire counter. And that's when you know the shit's going down and it's going to be good.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
So what did you have in that pot? Because there was a lot in there.
Yeah, the fish boil, it's a 50-quart boil pot. Mm, so it's pretty huge. Much almost to the brim.
Wow.
We had crawfish. We had clams. We had mussels. We had shrimp. We had crayfish, lobster claws, snow crab legs.
All in one pot?
All in one pot.
And now how it's do you prepare boil. It? And then what do you put it over top of?
So basically, it's just a boil. You're basically boiling everything. You throw this, like the seafood boil seasoning in it, a couple of beers, lemons, onions, flavor to your liking. You boil it up, cook it all up together, and then you spread it out on the table and or...
You just go at it.
And just go at it. So I just happen to have a very large decorative metal bowl. And the stuff in the pot was enough to fill it to the top.
Oh, my God.
To the top.
That's insane.
It was amazing. We had a great time. And I don't eat a lot of shellfish because I'm allergic. But I cook the hell out of it. Always cook for the family. They always love it. I enjoy it. Clams, mussels I can eat. So I went to town on those.
That's awesome.
But it was a great time. It was a great time. We had fun, and it's usually what we end up doing is just eating, having time with the family, and having a few drinks and
a few dozen.
That was the first time I got to meet your family. They are a lot of fun.
Yeah, his daughters are great. I mean, I've known Jay now for what, like almost
over 12 years. Easy. Yeah, we've been working together for 10 years.
Since 2007, I think that's when I met you, when I first moved to downtown New Haven.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I told your daughter I was going to steal her husband, so.
Oh,
that's happening. It was great. Overall, it's a great time, and, you know, it's just something to just really take the edge off COVID and the hostility, right? Because it is hostile to have to be barricaded in your house and not be able to really enjoy yourself and take advantage of the fact that we had an amazing summer. It's about to come to an end. Labor Day is next week.
Stop yelling at me.
And I know, right? And so, you know, you just have to make the best, as safely as possible, make the best of the time that we had left before it starts getting dark at 4 o'clock and before the cold comes back creeping in, you know, and you say to yourself, where did the year go? It's already September.
I don't know, but I'm looking forward to 2021 where we can all yell out,
Jumanji! Right, literally, like at 12, on 12:31, at 12 midnight onto the 1st, we're yelling Jumanji because that Happy New Year shit is not happening. Seriously. All right, well, listen, it is 6:26. Our conversation, of course, of our weekends and stuff took us past the time frame that we had allotted. We do have some stories. We might get to them after our guest, but we do have a guest, which means that right now we are certainly going to make sure that we go to break so that we can bring our guest back on time. So we're going to leave you with some music. And when we come back, we have Parker Cunningham joining us. Again, he's also part of the organization Free Mom Hugs, which is an incredible, indelible, amazing organization. We're super excited to have him on the show. Here's some music. We will be right back.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just to say. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. They're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. A knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies, and they're talking so much hateful bullshit they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our path, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. Don't forget the whiskey. And
train, head out to the wastelands where we can change our names, 'cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same.
All right, welcome back from the break, ladies and gentlemen. That, of course, was Wastelands, the title track to the album for Amanda Barrick, her debut album, released on July 31st. It is available on all major music services. Make sure that you go check it out. She was also a previous guest of ours here on the show. And now, we all know the story of Free Mom Hugs, and of course, its founder, Sarah Cunningham, and the amazing mission to support LGBTQ people all over the U.S. Now we get to hear from the person who inspired this formidable woman's amazing journey. Welcome to the show, her son, Parker Cunningham. How are you?
Doing so good. How are you guys?
We are wonderful. We just had a very, very chillax first half of the show. We talked about weeks, and it sort of kind of carried us right into break. And but now we want to talk about your story, because it's
all
amazing.
Right, all right.
And I think it's awesome. So before we do that, we want to introduce you to some of the people here in the studio. Of course, we've got Nick here sitting to my right.
Hi.
Hi. And I'm Tom, of course. And then, of course, we've got our friend Jay Bear over here sitting with us. And so we're going to jump right into our interview, because I think that your story and what has happened as a result of your coming out and your relationship with your mom has really changed a lot of lives. But before we go into that, tell us a little bit of who you are and a little bit about you.
Yeah, well, I'm Parker Cunningham. I am currently the LGBTQIA plus advocate for Free Mom Hugs. And inadvertently also the son of Sarah Cunningham, who is currently taking over the world. So it's a really cool position to be in. But I'm also an artist. I did hair for 13 years. And as many major life things that take us to other places, it kind of came out of nowhere. So life has changed a lot for us in the last, you know, five years or so.
So how did you go from coming out to your mom creating Free Mom Hugs? Like, what was that process?
Well, it took 22 years. but I mean, really, for us, our story is unique and not at all unique. I use the term unremarkable a lot because it's still a very common thing that happens. So we both started going to an evangelical church. Our family started going to a church just on the street. And we loved that place, and it was our family, and just through the messages there and also the messages from the outside world, you know, I knew that it wasn't okay to be who I was. And through years of, you know, coming out on accident, coming out on purpose, notes found in my pockets, doing laundry, you know, random stuff, it's like we had to keep having this conversation, and it always came back to God, essentially. But I mean, it was a conversation we were having. And, you know, finally, when I was 21, I had met someone and I was seeing them. And it was kind of like, okay, you've got to either be with me or you're going to miss a lot of this. And that's when our journey really started. You know, I always say, thought, you know, I was on this journey this whole time, but it really started then. So
your mom had had an issue, an issue accepting the fact that she had a gay son. Obviously, she had to find her way to get to the point where she could still love you for being who you were. She wrote a book about it. She wrote a book about her experience. And then things changed for you, right? You had that conversation.
Yeah.
You did the work. You sat down. You talked through it. And then she posted that post.
Yes,
that infamous post on Facebook that said, you know, if you don't have the support of your parents or your mom, I'll be your mom. I'll be your stand-in. I'll go to your wedding and be that support that you need.
Yeah.
How did she get there? Like, how, what conversation that you have with your mother that you said so what was the point in your conversation, in your journey with you and your mom, that she finally got it?
Well, you know, I think it was really that culminated effort of 21 years of having conversations and having her just, this is how I've always spoken. I've always talked with my hands. I always, you know, I was always really, really gay. And, you know, I think for us, or for her specifically, because I mean, yes, we all had the same journey. We started going to church at the same time. I mean, she went to church a few times when she was growing up, but we really started our Christ journey at the same time. And so we have two different versions of the same result. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, it was just coming out. But for her, it was really searching the Word of God and asking people that she was like-minded with and asking community members that, you know, she knew and trusted, and some of their answers were not so good, and some of them were really comforting and just had been quiet for a long time. And but it was through that I think she came to understand, like, A, this is my son. I don't really have another option but to love him and accept him and celebrate him, but also seeing this happen all day, every day, all around, you know? So right. I think that's even how she got started with her advocacy. I don't think if she had not received those stories from other people, received hateful rhetoric from people that we had been family members with for a really long time, I don't think that she would have fully comprehended that this isn't just happening to me. It happens to my neighbors, it happens to my friends, it happens to kids I'm going to school with and other kids in our church, you know. And so really that journey was what got her to where she is now, is her own research and getting educated. And
was there a specific catalyst, though? Like, was there a moment for your mother that she was like, I need to say something?
Say something, like, about me being gay, or, no, like, about her coming around?
About that post that came out. Right before she started Free Mom Hugs, was there, like, a catalyst, like, these people need support, these people need love, something happened to...
Well, she had had, you know, maybe a year or two, I don't really remember how long it had been, of her, you know, coming to terms and getting educated, reading the books, you know, checking out PFLAG and websites and stuff. And I do remember I was seeing that same person at the time. And I remember her saying, you know, I think I'm going to go to the Pride Parade. And we were both just like, okay. like not with us, like you're just going by yourself, you know? And I remember that whole, like, it was a few days and just thinking, like, we'll see if she shows up. Not that, you know, I knew that she'd been doing a lot of work, but that was going to be a huge step for her. And a lot of people don't know this, but in Oklahoma City, our gay district is one street. It's like two city blocks. It's 39th Street, and it's very close to our house. It's like right down the street from our house. So I knew that journey for her was going to be really, really long. But she came with a friend and showed up. And one thing about the Oklahoma gay scene too is we have a lot of church. We don't have a ton of we do have some really affirming churches that are doing really wonderful things for the LGBTQ community. But we've also recently had a lot of churches coming out as allies and saying, you know, we're here. So, you know, yeah, we had drag queens and we had, you know, the beer companies and the Pride Parade and all this stuff, but we also had like 7 or 8 churches with, you know, all these people marching. And I think that was a huge thing for her. It's just seeing that illustration of me and all my friends, the people that helped raise me when she couldn't, and also her people of faith, marching down the street just saying, I'm here for you. You know, they weren't all gay people. They were mostly not gay people, you know? And
right.
I think that was validating for her, and to see just those people like her, you know, just showing up and support, and seeing how simple of a message that was, you know, a message of hope. And how big that is.
So two questions before we dive into Free Mom Hugs completely.
Mm-hmm.
One, you've been talking about faith a lot. So I want to know where you and your mom are at with that and how you handle that as part of the LGBTQ+ community. So let's start there.
I have a very short train of memory. So... it used to be a really uncomfortable question because I haven't been a person of faith for a really long time. And I say that more so because until things change in the world, as far as Christianity goes, I don't think I could revisit that. However, right. In the time with Free Mom Hugs and with advocacy, so Church of the Open Arms is a fully affirming LGBTQ friendly church down the street from us. And I remember growing up in my church, and they would say, you know, just down the street, they're preaching this and they've started doing this and all this stuff. That is the most love-filled place in the city that I can think of. And it is very redeeming. Not that it's, you know, people of faith's job to redeem that for me. Again, because I'm not a person of faith, but it does redeem that part of humanity and what, how good that can be. And it sets a standard for other places and holds other places responsible for, you know, there's no excuse to not be an open and affirming place. And if your place of worship is not affirming in that way, then you need to revisit a few things. So in some ways I've been able to be more objective about religion and just clear cut, and not everything is, you know, an illustration or a lesson, you know, but more so just seeing the beauty in it. And it has redeemed a lot for me, but also watching my mom, you know, as a woman of faith, still navigate this and be a fully affirming ally, you know, people need that. And there are a lot of people in our community that are people of faith still, and are searching for that. So I can't necessarily fully 100% reject something that is also welcoming in a large group of my community too. So, mm-hmm. so that has been really wonderful. There's been a lot of redeeming things. I gave communion for the first time since I was probably 13 last year. I sweat a lot, but I got it done. But yeah,
so I can certainly understand.
It's been a weird thing, but it's
so
it's un- I, yeah,
it's a good weird.
Do you think?
Yeah.
So I have this weird. I don't know. I personally do. I have a really weird connection to religion. I'm not religious. I was raised Catholic. I do have
Catholic
faith in my own way. But the more and more I read and more I see, I think that churches are pivoting because of the lack of parishioners and the lack of attendance and the lack of money they're receiving. And do you think that that had anything to do with the fact that you saw an outpouring of seven or however many different churches at your Pride that year?
One, you should know this about me. I'm a really good cynic. So I will say, I've seen a lot of progress, but as for every person that leaves a church that makes change for the better, they'll build a bigger, more expensive church for people that don't subscribe to that, which is fine too. Everybody needs a place to worship the way they need to and think the way they need to. But it is just more work. I do think it is changing things. And again, sometimes just living authentically for us, and sometimes people of faith being fully affirming and just, this is life. This is what life is. Even that holds people on the outside accountable, or people who do think differently accountable, saying like, you know, there is no God without love, or there is no God without full acceptance of all people. It's simple, but it's kind of, it's doctrine, you know, and
But throughout history, we see, you know, religion literally using it as a weapon, not only against the LGBTQ plus community, but other communities as well. And yeah. I think that is what I struggle with the most, the amount of lives that we have lost due to, or the amount of minds that have put people down due to religion. And
absolutely,
I think that's my biggest struggle. And I don't know if you want to talk about that at all.
No, I think that totally makes sense. So in the way that, you know, I say Mom and I started our faith journeys at the same time, you know, we both read the Bible. She liked it a lot more than I did, but we both read it. So after I came out, she had to legitimately reread it. I mean, for the most part, I mean, to really read it. And now thinking about it, instead of saying homosexuals or this or whatever word it is they used, Parker, you know, and like, okay, do I believe this? Do I need to reassess this? And what place of worship can I go that does believe this? And two, I think there is a lot of change as far as, let me rewind. I do think also it is on us as a community who has been largely rejected by the church to also get a little bit more educated. Mm-hmm. Not that we have not read the Bible, and not that we have not searched out our own spirit, because, you know, if not, we've done nothing else, that's what we've done. But to really look at the Bible, and to, when people want to, you know, read a verse that's not true or not even in there. And honestly, too, we have a really good friend, Kathy Baldock, and she is currently, or she has been for a while, going through the work of finding where homosexuality was put into the Bible, the current translation. And it was just a bunch of old white dudes at a table. And we're like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. this is what this translates to. And that was in, like, 1946.
Right.
1942, 1946. So that's recent. You know what I'm saying? And you just see, the more we know about, even that's redeeming to me. Like, yes, at first it's like a bunch of old straight white dudes, you know, made this world for us, for Christian, you know, gay people in the Christian world. But at the same point, there are people getting more educated and really learning and going back. And that's mm-hmm. also for me, you know, if I'm going to love and appreciate so many faiths and ideologies, I also have to find that in Christianity. Mm-hmm. Because there are gay Christians everywhere.
So let me ask you, in regards to your mom, mm-hmm. were you surprised when she pivoted?
Surprised? I don't think I trusted it enough to be surprised. Does that make sense? I don't think there was, you know, there wasn't a coming out. I'd been coming out my entire life. I think the first time was in fourth grade where I was like, used the word gay for myself. Even the first Pride Parade, it was like, okay, we'll see. But really it was just through her action. It was seeing her go volunteer, seeing her, you know, hey, I've got a transgender friend that needs help doing this. And it was those things to me. And then just showing up and giving hugs. I mean, that sounds like we can go into the creation of Free Mom Hugs too, but just showing up to give hugs and to hear that from people I didn't know. I mean, I heard people that first Pride Parade, or that she came to do, so that was technically her second Pride Parade that she showed up to give hugs. I was walking around this Pride Parade and I heard people like, did you see that lady giving hugs? And da 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 da. People I didn't know, I'd never met in my life. And finally I got a hold of her and she's like, yeah, I'm just walking around giving hugs. I got a button on. And just that was a huge signal to me. It sounds so simple, but like there was a reason that people needed that because most of us don't have it, you know? Right.
So what was that process like for you, though? I mean, your mom went viral. You now mm-hmm. have an organization called Free Mom Hugs, and you work with your mother on that. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you, getting that publicity and literally kind of changing the face for moms in the gay community? 'Cause this isn't necessarily focused on you specifically. It's about mothers who need to support the LGBTQ plus community. So what was that process like for you being in the limelight?
It was, I mean, strange, of course, just because anytime, I mean, we legitimately went dictionary version viral. I mean, so it was all kind of quick surprise. No one knew us. And then everyone knew us. But I mean, I don't want to say how could you dispute something great? I mean, of course I'm biased, but it's like, she was doing just such simple things that there was no way to dispute, like, oh, well, we don't want it to get too big. It's like, I'm just giving hugs. I'm just signing up. I'm just, you know, volunteering. Like, especially about the book, you know, as she's gone more viral and people are reading her book, people will ask me things about my life. People I've never met before. Like, so when you were 13 and da 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 da. And that's really interesting. And but really, it's just the reception has been cool. And I get messages here and there, but just to hear the really simple things like, hey, my mom died 6 years ago. I just wanted to tell you I love you and what you're doing. And I'm glad to know that you're proud of me. Like, it's not, we're just doing what we should do. And we're doing what is easy for us to do. And I think people forget to do that. And we've had success with it. And it's been huge. And that's been great. But we're just doing what we needed other people to do for us, you know?
And so, that's the thing, the simplicity about, it's a hug. Something simple as a hug created this movement, because truly it is a movement. Nick, myself, and you had a conversation prior to you, and we were talking about, you know, like, where is Free Mom Hugs? You had mentioned it is all over the 50 states right now, and you have chapters internationally that may not be affiliated with the U.S. chapter of Free Mom Hugs, but nonetheless, the message is the same. And it's very simple. The simplicity of just giving someone nurturing and hugging.
Well, even just the signal that you're a safe place, you know, a big conversation we've been having as far as, you know, schools restarting or not being able to touch people, which is really hard to wear the word hug on your shirt when you can't touch people.
Which I was going to ask about that.
Oh, oh, we can get into it. but even just wearing like the logo or a button or something, you know, we can talk about how Free Mom Hugs is worldwide all day long. But the truth is like we have people everywhere all over the world that will wear a button that lets people know they're a safe place.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like people are doing, you know, some people are giving food to people. Some people are doing, you know, other things. But I mean, just allowing people to know, signaling to the world around you that you are a safe place literally saves lives. And that has always been international. There are people everywhere that want to do something, but this just gives people, I think, a very simple avenue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really awesome to see.
That's amazing. That's so powerful. I actually, quick, very short story. I went to a hockey game recently.
Very butch.
I know, right?
I was like, I love hockey.
No, I went to a Yale hockey game, and I'm sitting next to a woman, and I look at her, and she has a transgender pin on her jacket. And I was touched by it. And so, of course, I reached out, and I said something to her. And she's like, well, you know, my son's transgender. And I was like, holy crap. This woman is doing something so amazing, and she has no idea what that means.
And is that not at the base of things what moms do? You know, like, that's that kind of, like, double-edged sword of moms. You know, it kind of changes the stereotype of moms, this, that, and the other. But what more is it that that anyone wishes their mom would do, or that moms historically have been good at, other than just showing up and blowing your mind and having no idea that they did it, you know, or just...
And it's fantastic. Yeah. Like, moms are super women, like superhumans, mm-hmm. I always say. So let's talk about how COVID has impacted Free Mom Hugs as an organization, right? It's like you're all about the physical contact. Let me give you a hug. Let me show you and reaffirm that you are supported, that you are loved, that you are in, you are part of us. How does that work in COVID 2020?
Well... it started with a lot of carbs, lots and lots of carbs, and stressed out Zoom calls,
right.
morning wine spritzers. But really, we just had to kind of hit the ground running and really establish. I mean, we were heading into Pride season, which for us, I mean, for the US now, Pride season is April to October. But I mean, May, June, July for us is our busiest time. You know, it's when we travel, it's when we're going to these Pride events and organizing moms all around the US. So, you know, March, we were like, oh, this sucks. Let's, you know, keep it going. And then as that got closer, Pride season got closer. It was hard not to get discouraged. Cause I mean, even the people who don't do what we do, they just show up and hug. And that's, you know, the most powerful part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a phrase called going beyond the hug, and it's kind of the things that the moms do independently, that are not necessarily, things that we do as an organization, but just things that go beyond the hug. Like, okay, you've given the hug. What more? Is it just a call to make sure someone's well? Is it this? So really, I mean, watching these moms organize all across the US and figure out, you know, contacting GSAs on their state, well checks. I mean, just calling in, dropping off. There was one mom who makes brown beans. That's just what she's known for. And she was taking pots of brown beans to drag queens. I called it Beans for Queens. I told her to make shirts, but she hasn't done it yet.
I love it. That's awesome.
But, you know, like, that's just going beyond the hug. And I think everyone's capable of a hug, yes, but not everyone's a hugger. And we are all capable of doing just anything else. I mean,
so,
we just had to kind of renavigate what that looks like.
So as a nonprofit organization, obviously, you guys, you receive most of your funding through grants or donations and all of that. What type of we know what Free Mom Hugs is, right? But what does that funding go to? Like, what are the programs you're doing? What are the things that...
Absolutely. So that allows us to provide resources, information to keep our chapters going. Because really that, when the viralness happened and everyone was saying, you know, I want to do this, that really is what jump-started us into organizing these national chapters. And it's all been great, but it just helps us keep those going. It keeps my mom, Sarah, available to do. She's just recently a paid staff person, which is awesome. So she can dedicate herself to this. She was working full time before this. But mostly it's keeping our stuff going. And we just recently sent out some COVID care packages. It again, with COVID, it all does kind of change, but right now our focus is just keeping those chapters going and giving them the tools they need to to educate people and to help their communities. And all these communities are very different too, so the needs are different.
Yeah.
But really just keeping them inspired and keeping the things they need with them. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I have a question. I'm going to cut it
out. I was actually going to throw it over to you.
Like at any point in time.
I'm always the quiet one. Anyways, I would like to know, how has this changed you as a person, this whole process?
Well, there have been lots of different phases to it, but it authenticates me more by the day. Because there are things that, I mean, Mom and I are still working through, you know, on this journey. There are things that, you know, when we have someone from the community come and say, you know, I have this need, or I just need a message of love, or whatever it is. It's like, we see that in our own stories. And through that too, that helps us be better advocates too. So in the way that I say our story is unremarkable, and that's why it's so palatable and feasible for people to take in, it just opens your mind to that this is happening everywhere all the time. Right. So just, if you just live your life with your, it sounds so corny, I almost said with your arms wide open, but just thinking of a hug, but you know, it's like, I don't know, just every day by the day. I mean, I just feel like we become more and more ourselves, and sometimes that's really messy, and sometimes it's really fun to watch, and sometimes it's exhilarating and exciting. But most importantly, I'm just so thankful that Mom and I both are able to become more ourselves every day.
That's amazing. So Jay is an ally. He's a huge part of our community, but he has a huge family as well, with daughters and granddaughters. Children. There are two parts of this, because I want you to talk a little bit more. Mm-hmm. How does something like this make you feel? Imagine if your daughter didn't have but needed that hug, right? But then I also want you to talk a little bit about more of the work that you're doing, because you're working for an advocacy foundation, really, mm-hmm. as a gay man. So there are two levels here that I think are really important to touch on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know Nick and I don't have as much history as Tom and I do.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Actually, I've had two daughters that at one point or another questioned and experimented and decided it wasn't for them. We were okay with that. That for us as parents, you know, you feel this way. And it wasn't really an open conversation. And I think it's because my wife and I were always so open with our kids. And we were always, we're very open, very, very simplistic in our ways. Through high school, we had about 13 kids living with us.
Oh, wow.
Four of which were our daughters, and the rest were their friends. because we provided that safe space.
Yeah.
Whether you were gay, straight, bisexual, questioning. To us, it didn't really matter. To us, it was just a matter of having a safe place to hang out. So even when that question came up with our own children, it wasn't a what did we do wrong type of situation. It was like, okay, be safe, do this, do that. So I think for us that was also a big change. I'm very open about a lot of things. I don't go around telling everybody my business. It's just me.
Yep.
But I've been, you know, openly bi for years. My wife is aware. I choose to be with my wife. I'm happy where I'm at. There's a lot of stigmatism with bisexuality, where normally you're stigmatized as, oh, you're just greedy. You hear a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're just greedy. You just like both. You just want to get into everything. It's not the case.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you wanted to do either. Yeah.
Some people like to swirl their chocolate and vanilla together, right?
That's right.
So, it's a matter of providing that safe space and being able to do that. I volunteered with the New Haven Gay Youth program for years, mm-hmm. with the New Haven Pride Center prior to it taking off and being as grand as it is now. It's an experience nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes you have to really step back and reassess, because sometimes something as simple as a hug could be a gesture of just saying hello. And then you feel people that kind of grab onto you a little longer, mm-hmm. and you know that they need that extra 2-minute hug.
Yeah.
And if it turns into a crying session and a talk, then it is. But
all we do is cry. Yeah.
It's very amazing. I've experienced it, so I know exactly where you guys are coming from as far as the free mom hugs, and I applaud you guys for what you're doing. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, and you see, too, I mean, I feel like, especially, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of being, you know, a non-gay ally, but it's like, you know, the world is on fire all the time. Uh-huh. And there's 10,000 things you want to do, and you want to buy them groceries, keep their lights on. You want to, you know, go beat up that person that said that thing about them. You want to go talk to their parents because they're, you know, being shitty. And you just realize how simple it is just living by example too. And especially with free mom hugs. I mean, we've got dads, moms, brothers, sisters. I mean, everybody, nanas, dogs. And it's kind of figuring out, I don't want to say their archetype, but it's like, when we have this big group of people who are just available, someone who doesn't have their father in their life, someone who doesn't have their mother in their life, someone who doesn't have their nana in their life, will 9 out of 10 times come to the mother, the father, or the nana, you know? And it's like, just by being that person, you know? But I applaud you for just being a safe place for that too. And, you know, I think a lot of allies that would say like, well, of course I never judge my kids, or well, of course, like whenever they come out, it was just whatever. I don't think you guys realize how powerful that is, because people don't know that that's okay. Exactly. Like people need that validation too.
Right.
And also as a bisexual parent, as a parent of LGBTQ kids, I mean, A, there are more of you than you probably think, but B, if you know, there are parents out there, especially in our groups that are, I can't tell you how many of our parents have come out since joining Free Mom Hugs, uh-huh. You know, and just, and not even just coming out as in like, now I'm be able to be myself, but they can identify themselves because they meet another bisexual parent, right, or they meet another non-binary parent. It's just incredible to see that happen too. I mean, can you imagine just having that bond in one household, you know?
So I know that Free Mom Hugs has been around for the better part, like 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Marriage equality passed in 2015. Mm-hmm. You guys are from Oklahoma. What was it mm-hmm. like in Oklahoma before marriage equality? And what was it like to think that, you know, in 5 years' time, you would have such an amazing program and such an amazing organization established in mm-hmm. a post-marriage equality decision rule that changed lives for many LGBTQ people?
Well, I think in Oklahoma, I mean, yes, it was a shit show, but it was also a very complacent thing too. You know what I mean? So as much as it was like, I mean, before it had passed, it was like, oh, this sucks. But people in Oklahoma are very used to, it'll probably never change, you know? So I think, I mean, even for me, I remember the day it happened. I was I was doing hair at the time and I was out of town. I was in California, like one of the gayest places in the US. And with all these straight female hairstylists, and they come downstairs and they're all like, congratulations. And I'd already been married for like 2 years, or we went out of state. But anyway, I just remember thinking like, well, I wonder if that happened in Oklahoma too. Like they were explaining to me that like this thing had passed. Right. And I was like, oh, I love that for California, you know? But, you know, fast forward, again, through hearing the stories of these parents everywhere, you hear these parents that have been fighting for marriage equality, you know, that have 50, 60-year-old kids, you know, people who have been like on this side of things a lot longer than we have. And that's huge too. You know, none of this is new. It's ongoing. And that helps people understand how important it is that we're still having this conversation. Uh-huh. And that we're still worried about things being revoked. And that there are still, you know, a long way to go in a lot of different subjects as far as, you know, equality and marriage and babies and stuff. Here. Yeah. Yeah. So that's been really, really cool. But I mean, as far as after, I mean, my favorite part has been seeing people that have been doing this work for a long time and have been, you know, working really hard, you know, to keep us protected and to make big changes for us. So everybody has, I don't want to say a lane because I hate lanes, but everyone has a spot that they fit into, whether that's advocacy or making beans or going to, you know, your Capitol and talking to people making legislature. And does that make sense? It's just like, it's been really cool to see how many people were affected by that then that are doing stuff about it now, and people who are doing stuff about it then and are watching that happen now. So it's just, it's been a very cool thing to watch.
You know, I always thought about the term reap what you sow. And for years, right, when we see about, when we think about LGBTQ advocates advocating for marriage equality, as opposed to just, you know, being, you know, a civil union, and to see that come to fruition, to see that that court case with Judith Windsor and with Obergefell and all of this fall into place, and having that law struck down, which allowed for marriage equality to be the land, you know, the law of the land for all 50 states. It was incredible. And so that's why, the reason why I asked the question is because I know that although you've just started Free Mom Hugs and your journey in this new endeavor began shortly after marriage equality, there must have been a lot of work that went into it prior to, right? In the conversation prior to and after marriage equality, I'm sure it was very different for you and your mom and the people that you were working with at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Marriage Equality Act, I mean, that passed, I mean, not long after I was married myself.
Right.
And, you know, at that time, mom still struggled with that. I mean, I remember she called a hotline a couple days before just to be like, hey, you know, person who believes in God, is this okay? You know? And, which is, I mean, so weird to think about now, but, again, that's just what we did in Oklahoma. You just had a wedding in your backyard.
Yep.
You know, and like y'all were just married now.
Those are the best ones.
That was prior to Free Mom Hugs coming around.
Right.
We have made strides since then. But I think what would be really interesting to our listeners to hear from you, especially now that you're working with so many families and mothers and fathers, is what type of things do you say to these parents that reach out that are confused, that are lost, that don't know what to do, but they want to be there for their child? Like, what does Free Mom Hugs do to help support them?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I mean, it has completely changed since we have had national chapters, because it has taken a lot of that off of us in a way, as far as, you know, the national board of Free Mom Hugs, because it used to be, you know, me, mom, and Katrina answering emails. Hey, my mom did this, or hey, my kid came out as this. And that's what we did, you know, but now, I mean, so I think about in Oklahoma, where we have four major cities, everything else is a tiny, tiny town. We can find a mom in that town. So what we do, I mean, now is just kind of try to organize them with a mom near them. I mean, even if it's within an hour of them, that's a whole lot more than a 3-day drive like it used to be, you know? And so that's just been really a really amazing part to watch happen. And with the chapters being so well organized, we have Erin Ritter. She's our chapter organizer. She does an incredible job. But she just helps them all stay connected. And really keeping people connected is the base of what we do. I mean, there's a lot more and it's random, but I mean, keeping people connected, saying like, hey, I have someone in anywhere in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, let me Google LGBT center, you know, and that's what we had to do. But now you've got four moms, they might be at all four corners of that place, but they know what's there.
And you know, you have chapters in every single state in the US, correct?
We do.
And on top of that, you had mentioned that you may or may not be going international.
Well, we've had, especially with the viral, the post, heard around the world, we have a lot of just messages of affirmation from all around the world. I mean, we've had like India, Italy, just people that will reach out and just say, you know, I'm so thankful. And even though we don't necessarily have a legitimate organization chapter there, they're saying, I'm giving Free Mom Hugs, or I've been doing this for years. I'm so thankful that you're organizing. So, I mean, people are doing this and have been doing this. People have been hugging each other and affirming each other a lot longer than we have.
Right.
But the international factor of it is just cool. Again, I go back to that button issue of just like, that logo has gotten around the world. That's cool for us, just as someone who has seen it go from here to all everywhere. But just the fact to know, like, that's a symbol. It's like the bat signal, you know, like it can be seen everywhere and people everywhere know. And truth be told, I mean, the unique situation of having gone viral is that it goes everywhere. It goes everywhere. And so that's been a really great great gift to have. I don't know that any of us would have had the know-how to make it this big otherwise, except for by accident, which is how we do most things.
Right. Agreed. Well, so, Parker, I want to thank you first and foremost for taking time for chatting with us here on the show. I am extremely, extremely proud of you and the work that you've done with your mom, because I know that you had to put work in there too. And I'm extremely proud of the work that your mom has done, not only for you, but for countless LGBTQ youth all over the world and all over the US.
And for herself.
That was an extremely, walk of love and self, finding herself and finding a way to be to be able to deal with religion, which is very at the core of a lot of people, and also loving something that she brought into the world. And I think that your story resonates with so many people. And we're truly grateful that we were able to not only get your side of the story, but also get hers and have you both in a way that just really comes full circle. Right? To see the relationship that you have with your mom today versus what it would have been like 20 years ago truly is an amazing thing to see.
Thank you guys so much.
Helping so many people.
Normally I'm the crier. You're like tearing up over there.
It's incredible. You know,
this whole time I'm amazed that I haven't cried. I'm not joking. We just cry all the time. I'm so glad I don't wear makeup.
Same cannot be said for him over here, but that's okay.
Well, I cry and I sweat. I do those two things.
But seriously, Parker, if there's ever an update or something that you guys are working on that you want to put out there and we can help in any way.
Absolutely.
We're absolutely more than willing to do that. Because as we say to all of our guests, and we said this to your mom, once you're a guest on Gay Talk, you're family. You can't get rid of us. We will hound you and bother you and say, come back on and say a couple of things.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, so the last thing that's left to say is, please tell us where, if people would need to reach out to you or to your organization, Free Mom Hugs, how can they do that? Are you on social media? Do you have a website, etc.?
Yeah. So, to find out more about Free Mom Hugs, our website is www.freemomhugs.org. You can also find your chapters there. There are a lot of chapter pages for almost every chapter in the U.S. on Facebook, but you can definitely find them all on our website. And there's a lot of information on there. We've got great things on there. My email, if anyone would like to have me on the show or mom on the show, just send us an email. You can find them on there as well. My email is parker@freemomhugs.org. Or just find me on social media. I'm around.
You're around, which is good. I love it. So, I guess that's pretty much all that's left to say. I'm just so thankful that you came on the show. I'm thankful for the work that you're doing for all of the LGBTQ youth around the U.S. Because truly, sometimes all we need is just a hug.
Mm-hmm. Or an elbow bump or a high five.
That's right. So thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Well, thank you all so much. It was such a pleasure, and I hope to talk to you guys again soon.
We'll have you back on. Trust me.
You will.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, ladies and gents, that, of course, was Parker Cunningham. The story of him and his mom and their journey is just incredible. And I'm excited. I'm excited that we were able to actually have that conversation.
Can you pull it together, please?
I can. It's just...
Normally, I'm the crier.
So here's the thing. It's an emotional thing for me because you know that when I came out, I had my mother's support 100%. And that was beauty. There's beauty in that, right? Because that gives you permission to go out into the world and be who you are. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I had the support of other people that I looked up to growing up.
Yeah, no, I feel
that
you.
Completely changed the way that we see each other now, today, in this space, in this iteration of myself. And I'm just like, it's good to see when things work out in a way that makes it amazing for other people.
In a positive light.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, no, I love seeing all these amazing organizations pop up all around the country right now. Really, really kind of blowing my mind a little bit. We've had a lot of them on recently. So please check out our website and pick one and make your financial contribute a little bit here or there.
That's right. We feature so many people that are doing so many great things, and that's always a good thing. So, all right, listen, I know that we cannot sign off of this show without at least covering one story. So I'm going to leave it to Trish to discuss one of the stories that you had on here. And I think that the last one would be ideal.
Okay.
It really would.
Okay. So, this story really stuck out. I never have three stories. This story stuck out to me. I'm going to do this really quick. I want to honor a bodybuilding company, couple, a part of the LGBTQ plus community in Malta. They were brutally gunned down. And so I want to honor them. And I just wanted to put that out there. And then I also want to honor.
Can we try in mentioning their names? Is that possible?
Yeah. Christian Pandolfino and Ivar Masijowski. Yes.
Okay. We'll go with that.
We don't know if it was a specifically hate crime, but I do want to honor them. They were beloved by their community and beloved by social media as well. So honoring them was important to me. I also want to honor another story really quickly that two people recently. Got married, but with the way they did it was pretty amazing. And I think that as we move forward in life, we have to honor the ground that we have considered our home that was stolen by a people. And it was, in this case, a Native American community in Colorado. One of the natives married a white guy, cowboy, but they honored the relationship by wearing the appropriate garb, right? So the native individual wore the
traditional native.
Exactly.
Right.
And they actually changed their last name, which was pretty powerful. Instead of one taking the others, they changed their last name to Atav, which means new day. And I think that was beautiful. And
so they didn't take any of each other's last names. They created a whole new last name altogether. That's incredible.
From the Ute language, which was the tribe's language, which I think is really beautiful. And last but not least, we have some really amazing advocates right now that really need to be honored. And I'm going to botch these names. But Kowinski and Majek traveled to the Vatican City to ask Pope Francis for guidance. As they stood in front of the Holy See, the couple raised the rainbow flag with the words, "Help." Now, this couple is a Polish couple. They're from Poland, and we know that there's a lot of issues with the LGBTQ plus community in Poland right now. We actually have a large number of people that are migrating out of the country to escape the Associated Press's homophobia promoted by the highest levels of government.
Not the Associated Press. The Associated Press reports.
The government is.
Okay, I was going to say, wow.
What? Sorry, I'm trying to get through this really quick. There's a lot. In recent years, nearly one third of Poland's municipalities have passed resolutions against Russia anti-LGBTQ plus propaganda law. Like, they are literally creating environments where there are no LGBTQ plus free zones. People don't feel safe. People don't feel like they can be their selves. But what's so powerful about this to me is that this couple, being Polish, being from Poland, is taking a stand. They are putting themselves on blast on social media, holding a rainbow flag that says "Help" in front of the Vatican, when they can be persecuted back in Poland for who they are and who they love.
Right.
And I think that it's really important that we highlight people like this and people like the couple that I just talked about. I mean, there's a lot of negativity going on in the world. Like when I started talking about all of this stuff and honoring that one couple, but there are still people that are standing strong and doing what's right and standing up for our community and for our future and our children's future
and for love
And it's beautiful. Not only does Free Mom Hugs do it, but there are couples out there doing it every day.
Yeah. And, you know, they're very bold and brave because, you know, we've spoken about this many times on the show before. Poland over the past 15 to 20 years has geared towards a more conservative government, which, of course, that means that at the receiving end of that is programs and people and members of the LGBT community suffering great atrocities as a result of the policies that are being put in place by local members and local lawmakers to subvert the LGBTQ effort and people being able to live their authentic lives. And it's really troubling. But, you know, bravo to this couple that went to the Vatican out of all places, you know, to think of the Roman Catholic Church and their stance on marriage equality and gay people in general, to go there and raise that flag and be and say, you know, we are who we are and we're here and we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
And I also have to give props to the European Union because for, in fact, six of the LGBT-free cities, right, mm-hmm. Have lost funding from the European Union based on the LGBTQ plus propaganda laws.
Kudos so, to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that the European Union is now defunding cities that are passing anti-gay propaganda laws.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's also a great thing. All right, well, listen, we are going to go ahead and bring this home. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. There's so much that we covered. Parker Cunningham was just unbelievably amazing. But we do have three more things we want to talk about. Very quickly before we bring it home, one of those, of course, is our Mama Kim's Minute. So I'm going to toss it over to Trish so that she can go ahead and tell us what's going on around the U.S. and the world.
I feel like I don't stop talking. All right, everybody. So this is Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, State Park was renamed to honor legendary trans activist Marsha P. Johnson.
Yes. Ooh, that amazing. Was in New York.
Number two, new pride-centric train staffed entirely with LGBTQ plus crew.
God, I amazing. Hope they're all drag queens because that would be great.
Three, Gavin Grimm is still winning in his fight to protect trans youth. Four, new mural commemorates pre-Stonewall Compton cafeteria riots, which is actually about the BLM movement. Number five, Anchorage just became the first Alaskan city to protect kids from so-called conversion therapy.
Yes, and that's obviously a good way to lead yet another state into banning the controversial non-therapy, because it's really not a therapy, from happening. We've got currently, 32 states, and there are many municipalities everywhere that ban conversion therapy as a practice, and I think that you know, it needs to be banned nationwide. I think that it's time for us to just say it needs to go away.
Get rid of those backyard psychologists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And also the administration that we currently have.
Seriously. And that's another thing. We are...
Register to vote!
Register to vote. Listen, there is a generic website that it's all U.S. I check it all the time. I make sure that, you know, I'm registered, and I constantly check on my registration to make sure that nothing is happening. But, you know, really do your due diligence. Find out what your options are in your state and go out there and vote. Make sure you do that. That's important. All right. So, Jay, we're going to hand over to you the reins of our Gay Talk term. And, of course, our Gay Talk term is brought to you by GayRealEstate.com. You got it. You better work. What's our Gay Talk term?
Catalog queen.
And what is a catalog queen, Jay?
A homosexual who collects physique magazines for masturbation purposes. Mm.
We pegged you today.
Probably.
Yeah.
You could call me a catalog.
Ours gonna like lift up the matches and be like, yeah, yes, no. Man, this has been under here for like 20 years, Jay. What are we doing?
Hey, that's why we have the internet now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Those pages are stiff as a board.
Yes, they are.
Anyway, so on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com,
is the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal ruling in favor of prisons respecting sex reassignment when August 31st in 2001, where Canada. The Canadian,
of course,
Chris. The Canadian Human Rights Tribunal concludes that sections 30 and 31 of Correctional Services of Canada constitute discrimination on the basis of sex and disability with regard to the Canadian Human Rights Act. Sections 30 and 31 had led to Cynthia Kavanaugh, a transsexual male to female who had been sentenced to life imprisoned for murder in 1989, being sent to the institution for men and prohibited sex reassignment surgery for her despite the trial's judge recommendation. So basically what that's saying is they pass a law which means that prisoners can have
sexual reassignment surgery.
Yeah, that was
which
a
is
lot.
Amazing. Yeah, that was a lot to read. I'm proud of you. All right, well, listen, guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your favorite device as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation, which we collect monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Jay?
Next week is Labor Day and all about the dish.
That's right, which means we don't have a guest. Not yet.
And we don't know who will be here.
And we don't know who will be here, but we will have people in the studio and we will be doing a show for you as we always do traditionally every year.
Nick? All right. So thank you to our guest, Parker Cunningham, and for all of his and his mother's amazing work with Free Mom Hugs. And don't forget, everybody, get your discount for the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per person.
So I want to point out that she rewrote this a little bit today and she sent it to me and I put it in and she still fucked it up.
One word.
But I'm proud of you.
I want to know. I've been wanting to record that for so long and you won't let me.
No.
You do it so that you can make fun of me when I screw something up.
And I love it.
Will they ship out of state?
Yes.
Yeah. They ship all over the U.S.
Puerto Rico?
They might. Yeah. I believe so. Okay. But keep in mind that Future Method is one of the products developed by Bespoke Surgical and Dr. Goldstein and some associates of his that is completely amazing. And so you want to make sure that if you're bottoming, douche it out. Oh, it's amazing. So, Jay.
That is, I like bottoming, but okay.
What are we doing? Should we put something on it?
Yeah.
Of course.
What do we put on it? What's in blue?
What is in blue? Put a rubber on it.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. Let's wrap it up.
Okay. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under the show and episodes. It is also available at free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, queen.
All right. Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of the web browser there. You can leave comments. You can suggest topics. You can leave a question for the cast or an individual host, or you can call us by leaving us a voice message with your question. We can answer for you on the show. The phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. If you need all those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.